Welcome and thank you for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast. If you would like more information about Church by the Glades, including service times and directions, visit cbglades.com. We hope you enjoy today's message.
You guys are too kind, too kind. Amazing. Happy New Year 2019. You can be seated, please. Thank you so much for those kind words, for the invitation, for the chance to be here. And congratulations on perfect church attendance this year. You've done it. You've made it. Now come back next weekend so you don't blow it. That's a big deal. And I am a little offended because the Genius series starts as soon as I'm gone. I saw the promo for it. I said, so is this a Genius series? Do I need to mention it? Like, hey, do I need to work it into my message? He goes, no. That starts after you leave. So you're not in the Genius series. You're pre-Genius. That'll be post-Genius. But I get it. I thought tough but fair. He makes it sound way too difficult to get me down here. I live under a foot of snow at the moment. You live in Florida. So I said, please, may I come back the next weekend and the next one? I'm actually feeling a call of God on my life to come open a new campus for you here at Church by the Glades. So I'll be here. But seriously, it's a treasure. I love this church. Love your pastors. It's getting to preach is great. I'm just grateful to have them in my life. David and Lisa are, you know it, two of the dearest people there are. And you guys already, of course, made a big deal about this. Not a big enough deal as far as I'm concerned. 20-year anniversary of their leadership here. 20 years. And what an incredible thing to see this couple loving Christ. They love, you should hear about the way they talk about you when you're not there. I mean, they love you guys. They bleed this. They eat it and sleep it and drink it. And, you know, we were at a restaurant the other night and we invited the server to come. I don't know if he made it or not. And like as quick as a puma, your pastor, Church by the Glades business card. Boom, here's the thing. Telling them all about it and just loves and lives this on and off the stage. And their marriage, their family, their kids. I mean, good grief, Charlie, you just crushed this thing. Last weekend, dang. I know I'm speaking to all the locations and not every campus heard the same message last week, but Charlie just absolutely crushed it. You should check the archive, listen last week, so good. And so we consider a privilege to be linked up in ministry with you guys and the chance to be here is a big gift. And so I don't take that lightly. And if you brought a Bible, open with me to 2 Corinthians 4. That's where we're gonna be. I'm believing for a special time in God's presence today. All the services have been so neat thus far, and I believe that's going to be true for God's favorite service, the 1 p.m. 2 Corinthians 4, if you didn't bring a Bible, we are going to put the verses up on the screen for you. And I want to give a message specifically. I'm sorry the book sold out. That didn't last long. We didn't obviously send enough, or you guys have just people at the other services who are greedy and wanted more than one book. The newest book we released recently is called I Declare War. You heard about that a minute ago. That's been so cool. The reason I wrote that, people ask, like, why'd you write that book? It's because I'm screwed up. And I've had to go through dysfunctional stuff and, you know, dealing with insecurities, dealing with narcissism. I don't know if you guys ever drive home from work or drive home from a conversation wishing you could do it over again. Having put in your foot in your mouth, I just got sick of it. I got sick of feeling like I can lead an organization, but sometimes I can't lead me. And yet you lead yourself more than you lead anybody else. And so before you can do great things out there, you gotta face the man in the mirror and do things in here. And so that I Declare War is all about that. And I hope if that's at all relates to you, you could grab that. Of course, the audiobook's out there and there's curriculum if you want to do it with a small group, whatever, whatever. But this week I'm going to speak out of the first book I released, which is called Through the Eyes of a Lion. And so if you take notes in church, which is such a helpful thing to do, and if you don't have a religious context or background, first of all, good. That's probably better, honestly, quite honestly, because I think sometimes one of the biggest things that can get in the way of our relationship with God is religion. Religious people had the hardest time with Jesus. The person who was in the club, the girl with five guys, you know, and swiping right all the time, Jesus was fine ministering to them because they knew their need. They knew in the world there wasn't the answer to the ache inside their soul. Sometimes it was the religious people who had the most difficult time coming to Christ because they thought they could see, so Jesus couldn't open their eyes. And so if you don't have a context for this and you're like, what's going on? How do I turn in my Bible to a place that I don't know about? A, I don't have a Bible. B, I don't, you know. Let me just say this. Thanks for being here. Thanks for taking some time and coming. It's a bold step of faith to come and check that out. We're not big religious people here at Church by the Glades, but we are big Jesus people because Jesus has saved our lives. And at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. Christianity is not a system, it's a savior. It's not principles, it's a person. A person who lived, who claimed to be God, and then was crucified. And here's the kicker. He got back up from the grave and said, I can give that same eternal life to you if you believe in me. That's Christianity. All right? So don't get hung up on anything else. Someone once said, you look at the Bible, you say, I don't like what the Bible says about money. I don't like what the Bible says about sex. And so you would object to following God because you don't like something in the scriptures. But let's just simplify things. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then nothing he says matters. So what he says about sex doesn't matter. What he said about money doesn't matter. But if he did rise from the dead, everything he says matters. And if he rose from the dead, what are we talking about here? He rose from the dead. And if he can give you the answer to the biggest problem in your life, which is death and sin, you got it. Death is coming. Those are the two biggest problems. We're going to leave this world, and our sin is going to cause us to leave this world separated from God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ solves both those problems. He can forgive your sin and give you life after death. And if a guy can do that, then I could swallow a tough pill about something I don't like. Do you like what he says? Doesn't matter. I'm going with a guy who rose from the dead. Well, why is he the only way to God? He's the only way that ever was presented. Nobody else ever came and said, follow me, I can take you to God, and then proved it, demonstrating he had the goods by rising up from the dead. So yeah, please, if you know anybody else who's ever risen from the dead, who paid for my sins, let me know. Until then, I'm with Jesus. How about you? Right? See what I'm saying? So that's Christianity in a nutshell. But now we're going to read some scripture from 2 Corinthians 4. That was not my sermon. That was just bonus. That was free. 2 Corinthians 4. Paul says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Look at this. This is so great. For our troubles, our present troubles, are small and won't last very long. But they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So, we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. God, just speak something fresh to our hearts from these words. I pray for anybody hurting, you would open their eyes to see what they haven't seen before. And I pray for anyone who's come today, maybe they're at one of the locations in the prisons or watching on podcast or here at Sawgrass or perhaps down in Fort Lauderdale, whatever the case, God, we pray if they don't know you, you would draw them to yourself. They walked in hurting, walked in guilty, walked in empty. They're going to walk out with life, walk out with peace, walk out with strength. And that can't be done by man. It can only be done by you. So we pray your spirit would do an impossible thing in bringing the dead to life. And we ask this in Jesus' name with gratitude in our hearts as we approach you. And we all said together, amen. Amen. The Eyes of a Lion book, the whole metaphor, because Eyes of a Lion is a metaphor for looking at life through a lens of faith. Looking at life through a lens of faith. And the reason I think it's needed is because it's possible to look at something but not see what you're seeing. It's possible to look at something but not see what's right in front of you. Now, any married women, you know this is true. Any married women, show of hands, married women? True or false, your husband can look at the same room, the same place you look at and not see what you see. That's why he'll ask you for something that he can't find, and you'll walk in and grab it, and it'll be right in front of him. You see what I'm saying? Where, honey, where are my pants? You know, or whatever. Where's the peanut butter? Where's the baby diapers? I couldn't find them. They're nowhere to be seen. She's like, oh, really? They weren't right here in front of you? Oh my gosh, how did they get there? Honey, Jenny, where are my sunglasses? On the front of your shirt, hanging down. Where are my keys? In your hand. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how it works, but you can look at something but not see what you're seeing. This is true in so many different ways. You could have looked at something for 20 years but not see what you're seeing. Like the FedEx logo, right? Like the FedEx logo. This is a logo you've seen before, right? How many times have you seen that in your life? Billion times, right? Do you ever notice that there was a perfectly shaped arrow in between the E and the X? Provocative. You have my attention. You're thinking I messed with you in Photoshop. That's been there since 1994. So, all right, help your friend who can't find it. Yeah, just get it over with. Honesty in church, because you know if you lie in church, you go straight to hell. How many of you, show of hands, never saw that arrow before? Raise them up. Now look around, look around, look around. You're not the only dumb one. Here we go. And I do have to apologize because I've just permanently screwed with you. You will never not be able to see that arrow. I don't even see the logo anymore. Semi-passes me in the free, I'm like, arrow. Arrow, right? All right, so that's a pretty cheesy illustration, but it's obviously possible to see something but not see what you're seeing, because that's an example of negative space. It's not what's there that gives you the arrow, it's what's not there, which is why it's been called one of the 8 best pieces of graphic design in logo history and has won over 40 different design awards, not because of what's there, because of what's not there. Some of you are trying to change your life and you're trying to add things to change your life. Maybe it's not what is there, it's what needs to not be there. Maybe it's something you need to take away from your life. Maybe it's a relationship you're in. You could get more Bibles. You could read more, listen to more podcasts. Maybe it's the wrong relationship. Maybe you're in the wrong line of work. Maybe there's something that needs to be an example of negative space in your life that you can actually do addition through subtraction. There's an opportunity cost for everything you do. You can't do something with that time. For every dollar you spend, that's also a cost of what you can't do with that dollar that you're spending as well. All right, but it's also true when it comes to spiritual things as well, which is why Paul says here in this passage that we need to use the right lens to look at what we're facing. We need to use the right lens to handle tough situations. And he presents his solution for tribulation or pain or suffering. The Corinthian church no doubt thought, Paul, how do you not lose heart? How do you not get discouraged? How do you not quit going through what you're going through? Because Paul, he would preach and then he would get beat up. He would preach and then he would get put in prison. He would preach and then he would get shipwrecked. He would preach and then he would get bit by a snake. I mean, this guy's life. He shipwrecked one time. He had to do a filling, his own filling with an ice skate. No, that was Tom Hanks. Sorry. Talking to a volleyball people, right? No, but he did get shipwrecked and he did get bit by a snake. He went through so many hard things. Honestly, one time he was beaten with rods. One time he was stoned with rocks, not weed. Saw the way some of you are like, oh, really? Paul did that? Well, then maybe I can do that. No, okay? Only thing you get high on is Jesus, all right? There's no high like the Most High. So, but Paul got stoned with rocks till he was dead. Many people believe this is what happened in Acts 14 when he was preaching at Lystra, and he died there. And many people think this is when he got to go to heaven, just for a moment, because he said in 2 Corinthians, I know a guy. I'm not going to mention any names, but it was me. Ultimate humble brag, who got to go to heaven, and what he experienced there, I couldn't even put it into words. What I experienced there, because everyone wants, like, tell us what it's like. What's heaven like? You know, Paul, tell us. He goes, no, I'm not going to tell you because I would ruin it. It was so amazing. If I even try, he said it would be against the law for me to even try. Now, John, the disciple that Jesus loved, a nickname he gave himself, by the way, but you could give that one to you too. Yeah, whatever your name is, you could say, I'm the one Jesus loves. And I'm telling you, when Jesus invades your life with his love, that becomes your identity. I'm the one Jesus loves. I'm the one, right? He loves me. He loves me. Wake up tomorrow morning, look in the mirror and say, he loves me. He's got a, it changes the way you carry yourself. It changes the way you walk into a room. When you're loved by God, you want to share that love with other people. But John, he got to go to heaven too. And he talked about it in the book of Revelation. Only he didn't do what Paul did, because God said, no, you need to tell people about it. And there's, it's funny. He used the word like so often, it's almost like he's from Southern California. You know, like it was like, and he was all like, and it was all like, and it was like there was a throne, and it was like there was a sea. The reason he used the word like so much is because he didn't know how to describe what he was seeing. So he's like, it was like this, it was like this. And if you've ever read the book of Revelation and it seems scary to you, don't worry, it's not exactly like he's saying it is. He's just saying it was like that. You know what I'm saying? It was like that. I don't know how to describe it. And that's why Paul said, I'm not even gonna try. You just got to go see it for yourself. But know this, it's far better. That's the best description of heaven in the whole Bible. Far better. Far better. Now, this world's pretty good, right? Anybody with me? South Florida's pretty dang good. You all got some beaches up in here. I'm telling you what, beautiful. South Florida, it's amazing. And this world is resplendent. The Grand Canyon, where I live, we get to see sometimes, not always, sometimes the northern lights. The Aurora Borealis, it's unbelievable. One night I got picked up at the airport coming home and the guy who was driving me from my church, we're driving and I'm like, dude, I don't think I got enough sleep on the trip because I feel like the sky's dancing. He's like, I see it too. And I slept good last night. I'm like, okay, I'm just making sure. I didn't take any drugs or anything unbeknownst to me. You know, like the flight attendant slipped me something. And I'm like, I'm watching the sky ripple and dance. And we got home. My daughter Olivia's with me and she's in this service. And we go get Jenny out of bed. We're like, come down here. She's like, what's going on? Just get out here. We stood in our driveway for 30 minutes watching the sky dance, the northern lights. And what tripped me out was realizing that's always happening. Always happening. We just don't always get to see it depending on our perspective from where we are at on the earth. But right now, if you look up in that sky, it's dancing. Something's dancing up there. Whether you can see it or not, it's still there. The stars, when you can't see them in the daytime, they're still there. They don't go to bed. They're still there. You just can't see them because of light pollution. I'm telling you something. When you start to realize what's actually there and what you see is there are two different things, it changes the way you look at life. So there are beautiful things to this world, but it's marred by sin. It's broken because of sin. Scripture says that all of creation has been subjected to infirmity or weakness. I like to describe it this way. When God originally created the world, it was like a grape. And what we see in the world today is like a raisin. It's still good. Raisins are all right. No, they're not. Like a necessary evil. Like if I'm hiking, maybe I'll eat a raisin. Otherwise, it's like, it's what the trail mix has that you don't really want. You know what I'm saying? Trail mix for me is an excuse to eat M&Ms, but feel like I'm doing something healthy. You know what I mean? Anybody with me? You could do a raisin. You're like, oh, you're there too? No, you're like the friend no one wanted to come to the party, but they heard you talking about it. So yeah, you might as well come raisin. You know what I'm saying? The world today still has the essence of the grape, but all the vitality has been sucked out. Scripture says that as beautiful as the world is, it's almost weeping because it can't get to be what it once was. Trees are going to one day, the Bible says that in heaven, trees are going to clap their hands together. Mountains are going to sing. There's no doubt that animals, it seems, are going to speak. There are animals that speak in the Bible. Balaam's the donkey and the snake in the book of Genesis. When the snake speaks to Eve, she doesn't flinch at all. She talks back to it like that was normal. So perhaps one day the animals will speak. I mean, as good as the Great Barrier Reef is and as this world is today, marred by sin, imagine what it's going to be like on that day. And here's the question. If trees are going to clap their hands, what are you going to be able to do? What are you going to be able to do? And Paul had that kind of stuff in his spirit, and that's how he could go through beatings, imprisonment, trials, shipwreck, pain, hardship, aging, and someone go, how do you not give up? He goes, because of that? It's small. That trouble's small. You're like, no, Paul, it's huge. You're going to get decapitated in prison. He goes, it's small. Small potatoes and won't last very long. Not by itself. Your trial's bad and hard if you look at it just it by itself. But when you compare it to something, it changes the perspective. When you compare it to So he lifted his eyes up to heaven, like he said, we're supposed to, Colossians 3, set your mind on things above, not on the earth where Christ is, right? Seated at the right hand of the Father. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. When you have your eyes on the prize, when you have your mind on heaven, all of a sudden it shrinks these big mountains of trials we face into molehills. Small trials that aren't going to last very long, but they produce in us a vast glory that outweighs them all. So listen to me. Your trial will not stay with you forever. I don't care what it is. If it's a depression that is just a constant reoccurring theme, if it's a crippling pain a bulging disc in your back, if it's something chronically difficult, a blood disorder or something you deal with, you're not going to keep that forever. It's gonna be like going through the metal detectors when you get to heaven. It's not gonna be allowed to go with you. But what your trial is producing in you, that you get to keep forever. Because God's gonna use the hard thing to do good things in you. But to see all this, we have to use the right lens. Here's this whole sermon in just one sentence. It's the whole essence of the book Through the Eyes of a Lion, just in one sentence. Listen to me very carefully. Suffering is not an obstacle to you being used by God. It is an opportunity for you to be used like never before. Suffering is not an obstacle to you being used by God. It's an opportunity for you to be used like never before. We discovered this on the worst day of our life. Worst day of our life. 6 years ago now, this Christmas, we were wrapping Christmas presents. It was my wife and I's date night. It's been our tradition throughout our marriage to have a date night. And last time I came, we talked about sex and marriage and romance, and we wrote a whole book about that called Swipe Right, and it got steamy up in the Church by the Glades buildings that day. But we've made it our habit to take a date night, and we don't wait. You know, oh no, we're doing good. We'll get to that eventually. We have a newborn. We're not doing it. No, it's just been our tradition. We're gonna fight for it. And when we were first married and poor, we would go to Costco and walk around and eat samples. You know, baby girl, you can have anything you want so long as it's on a toothpick. But those are some of the best days, some of the best dates we ever had. And you know, now I'll fly her to New York City, and we'll go see Hamilton on Broadway and have a, but here's the thing: you don't wait till you have the big budget to make the right decisions. Romance works on any budget, and it's a principle. It's like tithing. You don't wait to tithe till you make $1 million. You tithe when you make $10. You tithe that first dollar. How else can God trust you with more? So. It's small acts of obedience continuously repeated that leads to the enormous victory that all of us want. It's being willing to do today what others won't, so you can do tomorrow what others can't. That's what we really need. And so with your New Year's resolution, you know, don't make it so big. You know, make it little. A little thing you'll do every day. Don't say, I'm gonna read a book a day. Oh, good Lord. Are you kidding me? That's like the person who's like, I need to get in shape. I'm going to go to CrossFit. Nah, that's a mistake. Let me just put it out there. I mean, apologize if there's a CrossFit person among us, but you'd be so sore day two, you'll never go back. You know what I'm saying? You got to start small. I'm going to do 20 minutes on a treadmill or something. You know, like say I'm going to read one page a day. You'll feel so good when you read that page. You're like, I might even read two while I'm here. You know what I'm saying? And make it small. But that Christmas, we were on our date night, and when we went back to my daughter's grandmother's house to pick up our kids, our daughter Linya was having an asthma attack. Now, I've had asthma since the third grade. Any other asthmatics in the house? A few of us. Be a little more confident next time, right? You're like, I guess me. Hey, when do you have a moment to be like, you know what? Asthmatic and proud. Asthmatic and proud. We'll get together after the service, you and I, and puff our albuterol together. We're gonna do it. All right. So for me, asthma is normal. You run or get wheezy, you take your inhaler, and you feel better. And that's normally how it's been for any in our family who have had asthma. But this night, this December evening, my daughter's asthma attack got worse instead of better when she got her medicine. And pretty soon, she stopped breathing, and then her heart stopped beating. And in a matter of minutes, she went from being completely fine playing with her sisters to being in heaven with Jesus, escorted by the angels into God's presence. And I never got to say goodbye. My wife, Jenny, she never got to say goodbye. Her sisters never got to say goodbye. We didn't see it coming. There wasn't a long, lingering illness. There was a planned trip to Disneyland the day after Christmas. But instead, that was the day we had her funeral. and I won't sugarcoat it. It was ugly. It was horrible. It was much like February 14th here in the area where you live of last year. And the suddenness of it, and the meanness of it, and the coldness of it, and 1,000 questions, and 1,000 whys. But what we've chosen to do is what Paul lays out for us. And it's to not just look at your life and see what's there, but to choose to put a lens of faith in front of your eyes and look at it through that lens. I'm not just going to look at what's there. I'm going to use a lens of faith. Now, how do I get a lens of faith? This is so important. Listen to me. It comes from the Word of God. Because Romans chapter 10 says faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So what you have to choose to do is load up promises from Scripture into your heart, into your life. You need your bloodstream full of Scripture, loaded full of Scripture. So when difficult days come, you don't just look at your life. You load up a promise from Scripture. Look, y'all, you got to do a double take. You're like the one like I do at the beach. That's a different sermon. That's a different sermon. I'm talking about you look at your pain, but then you load up a promise from Scripture and you look at it again. So here's what this could look like. Okay, February 14th, 2018. Today is 326 days ago. And as I've prepared my heart to come and be with you and minister God's word to you, I've been getting into my heart what that feels like and thinking about from our own grief what many of the families and friends of those 17 beautiful people are walking through right now. And I know one of the things about the passing of time is that you feel like you're getting further and further from people you love. Because today I'm 2,208 days away from Linya. And all those days I've had to wake up and I feel like I'm getting further from her because every day I remember when I was with her last. And I know for you now, 326 days to wake up on a world that you hate because they're not there with you in it anymore. And it feels sometimes like they're passing through your fingers. 326 days, it's with vertigo that you feel like, is that 10 minutes ago or is that 10 years ago? It's 327 tomorrow, and every day you feel like you're drifting away. But that's only if you look at it through the natural. That's only if you look at it through human understanding. Because human understanding places the loved one who died in Christ as being either in the grave or in your memory where they once were. But when we open up Scripture, we find Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life, and anyone who believes in me, though he dies, he will live. And so now I don't look at my daughter. We don't look at them as being in our past. We look at them as being in our future because they're not over here behind us. They're over here ahead of us where we're heading. And so now we get to wake up every day. And guess what? Today, 326 days closer because we're moving in the right direction. And those who have died in Christ are more a part of our future than they're a part of our past. Come on, could you thank the Lord for the hope, for the power of the gospel that gives us a different way of looking at life? You gotta see the arrow and not just the logo. This is true in every area of your life. Look at your car and see some broken down piece of junk. That's what you'll feel like when you drive it around. Or if you look at it as a gift from God that you have transportation, it changes how you look at it. Put the lens of faith on it. I hate this job. My boss is a jerk. Or thank you, God, that you sent, you love these people here so much who obviously need help, that you have sent me up in here to be a little beam of sunshine and a reminder of the goodness of God. Oh, I hate this job. I make coffee. Or you know what? I get to give coffee to uncaffeinated people. And I just dare you to send someone in here who's having a bad day. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to notice them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to see them. I'm going to spot them. You go into your cell at prison. Are you going to go in there feeling like a victim, feeling this, feeling that? Or are you going to have the mentality of Joseph? God sent me in here. Now, yes, I may have done bad things that got me in here, but God, I see you a purpose for me in it, an assignment for me in it. There's people I'm going to love on and show grace to, and I'm going to, it just changes everything when you put that lens of faith in front of your eyes. So you have to choose to look at your life and do so through the eyes of a lion. And this has to happen every day. That's happened every day. I have contact lenses in my eyes, and you know what? I'm going to need them tomorrow. I'm going to need them tomorrow. And it doesn't matter if I put the lenses on today if I don't do it next Thursday. The thing about grief is that you can't ever say, I'm through it now. Oh, I'm at the 1-year mark. We're good, you know? Or, hey, we made it through 5 years. We're good. Same with marriage. Same with your walk with God. That's why you owe it to yourself to be here next weekend for the launch of this new series. And you owe it to yourself to be here through the weeks and good days and bad days. I feel like I need it. I don't feel like I need it. You need to lift your hands up and praise God on the days when you really sense him near to you. But you know what? You also need to worship God when you feel like he's far. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Screwtape Letters, and he writes as though he were a demon giving advice to another demon. And he's encouraging, you're like, that's weird, I know, but it's brilliant. He's writing, pretending to be a crafty master demon, giving advice to a newbie demon on how to really mess with people. And one of the things he says that's really marked me for life in that book is, he says, our case is the most desperate when a human being looks out into a universe and it seems like there is no signs of God at all, but still chooses to obey him. That's when you have real power in your life. Anybody can love their friend. Loving an enemy, that's different. Anybody can praise God when you got 19 Jesus goosebumps and you're, oh my, he's so near to me. He's like right there. You know, but when you feel like, I haven't even heard from you, God, but I'm gonna praise you anyway, because you never called me to understand you. You called me to obey you. And I'm telling you, the night that my wife and I knelt in a hospital room and said, we felt so much anger. I wanted to rip machines off the walls. I was so mad that day. But when we still held our little girl's hands and raised up our hands to heavens and said, God, you give and you take away, but blessed be your name. We can't be mad at you. You're the one holding her even now as we speak in the presence of the angels. We can't be mad at you because when we leave this world, you're going to bring us home to be with you and with her there. We can't be mad at you because even now you filled us with your spirit and you're giving us the strength to face this enormous trial. I'm telling you something. Worship is not a feeling expressed through actions. It's an act of obedience that often leads to feelings. And so what we have to do is be a people who can worship God no matter what. And I dare you, this is gonna work. I'm gonna close and leave you with this. We have to be a people who believe that God can even use our pain to do good. And that puts you on your toes. Can I get a head-to-toe shot? Not just to show you my beautiful ankles, but the devil, I feel so strongly in my spirit, you need to hear this. The devil wants us to be on our heels. If I'm on my heels, The youngest 90-pound girl in the room could give me a little tap and I would probably fall over because I would lose my balance. But you get me up on my toes, I will straight Neo Morpheus on the bullets over my head. You know, see what I'm saying? Why? Because ballerinas and fighters all have this in common. They're on their toes so they can do what they've been called to do. On their, and you know what? I remember playing tennis as a kid and remember ready position. If you want to get to where you need to be, you got to be on your toes to get there. The devil wants you on your heels. What does that look like? Where were you on the worst day of my life? Where were you when my dad walked out? Where were you when that person molested me? Where were you when that madman entered the school armed? Where were you, God, on the worst day of my life? That's what God, the devil wants us to be on our heels like that. God wants us on our toes. The toes is the person who says, I know it's hard, I know it's terrible, but God, you have never left me. You are right there. On the worst day in human history when Jesus was butchered, you had a plan. You see the future. You have a plan to work all things for good. You're gonna restore all things to yourself. And I believe you're gonna use me. So where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to touch? Who do you want me to love on? I'm on my toes, ready to see you doing great. Why? Because suffering's not an obstacle to you being used by God. It's an opportunity for you to be used like never before, but only if you got the eyes of a lion to see the invisible and do the impossible. I'd love to introduce you via picture to my little girl, Linya, who's waiting for us in heaven. This is her here. And I love this photo because I never saw it till after she was in heaven. It was sent to me by email by my assistant who took it unbeknownst to me and sent it to me. And it was the biggest gift of my life. And the day I saw it, I wrote in my journal, I want to write a book about her eyes one day. Her eyes. Linya Lion is her nickname. And Through the Eyes of a Lion is the book I wanted to write. This picture's on the cover of the book along with a photo of a lion. And the reason that was all so connected is because the night she went to heaven, we had the chance to give as a gift her two corneas, the outermost lens of her eyes, as an organ transplant surgery was done. and two blind people received sight through her eyes. And they today see life through the eyes of a lion. And that provides us with a picture of the gospel, because that happening involved quite a few elements. It involved a need, it involved a death, it involved a sacrifice, it involved a father saying yes, and it involved two people with that need who were going to die themselves one day saying yes. That's the gospel. God so loved the world, he gave, the Father gave. The Son loved you, so he gave his sacrifice and went, you have a need and you are going to die. The only question that's up in the air is, have you signed the dotted line consenting to the procedure whereby God will transfer the righteousness of Christ into your heart? If not, today's the day. I believe it in Jesus' name. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the way you can work in hard, unspeakable, difficult things to do beautiful things. The cross is proof. If you're here in this moment and you would just want space to say, I'm hurting and I'm in pain, but I want God to open my eyes to see something new. Could I ask you, just raise your hand up? You would just say, this message has touched me, and I want to just acknowledge that in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Open the eyes of our hearts. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Give us that kind of enlightenment to look at our lives differently through the lens of faith. You can put your hands down. Jesus, draw people to yourself and use us to help a hurting world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Church by the Glades. Love you so much.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. To hear more messages like this, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. Don't forget to stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CBGlades @PastorDHughes.